Heavenly Father, we delight to bathe in your light of your truth. We thank you that you have such great compassion upon us, Lord. As the darkness is around us outside, Lord, you shine bright in Jesus Christ to us now. Help us by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and be looking at Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. And this will probably be pretty familiar to most of you. It's going to, again, be the parable of the Samaritan. And so I'll go ahead and start with reading our text as you guys are turning there. The kids of the Kiki worksheet, that's going to be the solid text in the front. So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down to Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance there was a priest going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and he saw him. He had compassion. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Jesus, the lawyer said, "The one whom showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." And so our first point as we start off is going to be Jesus points this proud lawyer to the law of God, to the commands of God, to show him his need of a Savior. We see in our text that this lawyer stands up and he asks Jesus a question. It's a very weighty question. It is a heavy question. And simply, he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a question we don't hear asked too often at all. Most of the time, we like to discuss things like the weather, sports, maybe the wars that are going on, things about here and now. But this question is a weighty one. Much discussion might come of it. It might even offend some. But the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so I'd ask you, how would you answer this question? Kids, do you know the answer to this question? How do I inherit eternal life? Jesus had this discussion often. A lot of times, many would see how wonderful his teaching is and what wisdom he had, and would come to him. And Jesus would tell them what eternal life is and answer that weighty question of, what must I do? How shall I inherit eternal life? And so we see often Jesus would explain what eternal life is. In John 17:3, he says, "This is eternal life, that you may know that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus defines eternal life not as just living after death or having life after death or living forever, but he defines eternal life as knowing Christ, treasuring the Lord Jesus Christ, having a relationship with God. Jesus also said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And so Jesus is telling his followers, he gives the gift of eternal life, and they will never be taken from him. Romans also says in 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life is Christ, is the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so that is what is eternal life. And Jesus much more often would answer the question of how shall I inherit eternal life, or what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he would simply, over and over, John 3:36 says, "He who believes in me has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Two chapters later, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And it does not come into judgment, but has passed from out of death into life." And so we see the importance of hearing Jesus' words, and through that, believing him, we have eternal life. But as we look at our text tonight, Jesus here gives a completely different or contrary response to this lawyer. It's almost the opposite of how he responded in all those other times. Jesus doesn't answer this lawyer and say, "I am the way and the truth and the life," or "believe in me." Instead, Jesus responds by pointing this lawyer to the commands of God. When the man asks, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds, "What is written in the law? What are the commandments of God? How do you read it?" And that's verse 26. Almost as if the lawyer could receive eternal life by keeping the commandments of God. And before, Jesus would say, "Oh, you must believe in me." But here he says, "Oh, go to the law of God. What does the law of God say?" And it almost seems like, is this a mistake? Can we get eternal life by being good, by keeping the commands of God? But thankfully, Luke, the author, gives us an answer of why Jesus has this response to this lawyer. And that's in verse 25. It's the first two words we see there. It says, "And behold." We don't want to miss this, because the writer is trying to clue us into what's going on that we can't see by reading this text. He's trying to show us something, because that word "behold" is like saying, "Look, see." The same word would be used when an angel would come from heaven and announce a message from God, and his radiance would be upon the shepherds, and it would say, "And behold, the angel appeared." Each time he would see, something would be announced that was shocking or startling. Jesus doing a great miracle when the word "behold" was used. But here, we see something startling and shocking, but this something is astoundingly bad. And that's what our text wants to show us. This something is that this lawyer, who's an expert of God's law, this guy would have been a religious lawyer. He would have known God's word very thoroughly. Would have been like a pastor or a theologian. When he's asking this question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" he doesn't actually want to know the answer. And that's what we're supposed to see. This lawyer stood up. And what was he doing? He's putting Jesus to the test, as we see in verse 25. The lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. And so the lawyer did not actually care about what Jesus would answer. The lawyer was there to try and trap Jesus. He's trying to find something to accuse Jesus with so that he could persecute Jesus, so that he could trap him and take him to court with. And so our key point is that the heart of this lawyer is not good. In fact, the heart of this lawyer is in a bad state, is actually an enemy of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, is how Jesus responds to this lawyer. And so the lawyer is using this weighty question: what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But he's using it from this shockingly bad heart. And so how do you think Jesus is going to respond? Amazingly, Jesus, our second point here, is going to love his neighbor. And more specifically, this enemy that's trying to trap him. And so what Jesus does is Jesus sees this heart right away. What the writer, what Luke is trying to show us, Jesus can already see. And so Jesus is going to try and help this man and love him in compassion. And so Jesus responds to his lawyer again in verse 26. What is written in the law? How do you read it? And amazingly, because this lawyer does know God's word, he answers perfectly. The lawyer responds, verse 27, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus responds, "You have responded correctly. Do this, and you will live." And again, doesn't it almost seem like Jesus is leading astray this lawyer, pointing him to the law? No, he's actually doing the opposite. He's showing the lawyer compassion. Because the text continues to reveal this man's heart. And as we continue in verse 29, the text continues, "But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?'" And this is where the lawyer's heart is further revealed. Do you see the problem here with this lawyer's heart? Not only was he trying to trap Jesus, and now he's trying to make himself look good. And so we see here, Jesus sees this. And he can see this man's problem. What is he doing? He cares more about pleasing men, more about men's thought of him than what God thinks of him. He cares more about receiving honor from men and not from God. And first he's trying to trap Jesus, maybe trying to please the other Pharisees. Now he's just trying to justify himself. And so as he is doing this, he's thinking in his mind, he's a good person. He's kept the law of God perfectly. That's how he can justify himself. And so we see here, but as he is doing this, he can't see the darkness in his heart. What is he doing? He's breaking God's commands that in his mind he is keeping. He is a lawbreaker. The second commandment, right, is to love your neighbor. And what is he actively trying to do? He's trying to trap Jesus. He's looking at his neighbor, who is Jesus, and he's trying to trap him, and he's actually hating him. And he can't even see this in his heart. This man is in a very sad and scary state. He's blinded by his sin. And he doesn't even want help. He's seeking his own glory. And this is what Jesus is faced with. This is what Jesus is dealing with as this man asks him these questions. But the good news is that Jesus is a compassionate Savior. And he's up for the challenge. And we get to learn from him. And so why would Jesus direct this man who has a heart that is proud? Why would he direct him to the law of God? Because this man The only hope for him, the compassion that Jesus is showing him, is to help to see what's wrong with himself. And only the law of God, which he thinks he's keeping perfectly, could reveal that to him. If he could see that he actually can't justify himself before God, then he will see that he needs help. He will see that he needs a Savior. Because if he's a lawbreaker under the judgment of God for breaking God's law, he can no longer justify himself. And so we'll further explain this in a little bit. But this is the background of the parable of the Samaritan. When Jesus gives this parable, he's not so much talking about compassion, but he's speaking this parable to try and show this lawyer, this proud lawyer, that he needs a Savior, that he needs a rescuer. And so this is the parable of the Samaritan, which we will read one more time. And Jesus replied, "A man going down from Jerusalem," verse 30, "to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to a place where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the one who fell among the robbers?" This parable here is a heavy, heavy story. It's Jesus taking the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, which is a commandment to all of us. And what he does is he takes that commandment and illustrates it to us so we can further understand it. And as he expounds on the commandment, he reveals our darkness. He will crush every one of us, our self-righteousness, and especially this proud lawyer. It was wonderfully revealing what the lawyer was wrong, what was wrong with him, and what was his problem. The lawyer, like many of God's people, the Jews, had God's word, but they loved their darkness rather than God's word. And instead of listening to God's word, they would twist God's word and use it to justify themselves. And in this case, what the Jews were doing is they weren't seeking honor from men. I mean, they were seeking honor from men and not from God. And the lawyer knew God's word, but instead of making God look good, would change the meaning of God's law to make himself look good so he could justify himself. As we know, all of us, all men are made equal, whether different class, race, color, profession, culture, living situation. We're all equal. But the Jews would take the word neighbor, when God says, love your neighbor as yourself, the Jews would take the word neighbor and define it in their own terms so that they could keep it better and they could make themselves look good. And what would they do? They would say the word neighbor means, oh, those who are like you, your family members, your fellow Jews. And they would say, that's your neighbor. But those you don't like, those who might be your enemy, you can still despise and hate them. And the Jews specifically hated Samaritans. Samaritans were technically a half-Jew. They were the Jews that other nations came into their area, the Samaria, and started mixing with those other nations. And so the Jews themselves hated them. They would have no dealings with these Samaritans. And they would not even talk to them if they could. And the lawyer, because all the other Jews did this, and they had, as a collective people, defined God's law this way, could not see his error. And this is what Jesus has to help this lawyer with. Jesus has to break through his pride and that darkness and reveal the truth of God's law so that he could see what he was really doing. Is he perfect? Can he justify himself? No. No, no one can. We've all broken God's law. We've never loved God perfectly with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And we definitely have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. And as Jesus is doing this, he's revealing to the lawyer he needs a Savior. He is condemned under the law. And if he faces God in judgment, he will go to hell. And so Jesus uses this parable. The parable is a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, about 15 miles along steep cliffs, ascending down. And this man in the parable, as he is traveling, trouble comes upon him. What happens? Thieves come in and unexpectedly they jump him. They beat him. They robbed him. James wasn't there, sadly. So, just kidding. They left him to be bleeding of his wounds. He's in a desperate state. He's stranded on an isolated road in critical condition. When the parable says he's half dead, it means if he doesn't get help by nightfall, he will be fully dead. So there's an urgency here. But as we continue in the parable, there is a great hope. What is that great hope? By chance, we see in verse 31, by chance, there is a priest. If someone is the best person to come walk by, it is going to be a priest. The priest knows God's law. The priest knows what God wants him to do. The priest is one who offers sacrifices daily in the temple for the people and would read the law of God daily to God's people. So surely this priest would know what he should do at this moment, at this time when he sees this half-dead, bleeding man. But sadly, that great hope is quickly crushed. Because what does the priest do? Passes by on the other side. He leaves the man with no hope. But again, another hope. Verse 32. So likewise, a Levite. What is a Levite? A Levite would be a servant of the temple who assisted the priest. Surely he would remember God's law that says, love your neighbor as yourself, and would render aid. But we see here that hope also quickly is crushed and quickly fades as those groans and those moans are ignored as he passes by on the other side. And so, did the Levite and the priest have eternal life? Did the Levite and priest have eternal life? They both were circumcised. They were both very religious. They knew God's law. But here they reveal, as John MacArthur would say, they are unqualified for eternal life because they did not love God, nor would they listen to God and what God wanted them to do at that moment. They loved themselves instead. And so we see here, they passed on. The desperate state of that critical man, the man in critical condition, continues to worsen. But then, there's a small hope. If you were a pessimist, you wouldn't even call this hope, right? I know there's some pessimists out there. But a Samaritan comes by. This is the one the Jews hate, who look down on and despise. This is an enemy of the Jew, right? And so, surely, this man, this Samaritan, like the other two, is just going to pass by. That would make total sense. The likelihood of help, I said, was very small. But amazingly, no. Instead, the Samaritan sees the puddle of blood, the bleeding wounds, the shallow breast, the critical condition. He sees this man. And though this man might have previously despised him, hate him because of where he was born, would not even talk to this Samaritan. And more important, if the Samaritan was the bleeding one, we know the Jew would just pass by. But what does he do? He chooses to have compassion. Even if the Samaritan has been previously hurt or hostile or angry at a Jew, he ignores those thoughts. And he chooses compassion. He chooses not what he wants, but what God has asked of him. What God, whom he knows, commands him. And so, what does he do? He loves his neighbor as himself. And even here, he loves his enemy as himself. And so, I would pause here. Do you know someone that you dislike? Can you think of someone you just are irritated by? Or someone that you might even hate or don't care for? As we continue in Jesus' parable, I want you to think of that person, that enemy maybe. And I want you to think about, which is going to be our next point, the extravagant love that Jesus is about to describe. And so we continue in our parable. The Samaritan, immediately as he sees the man in desperate state, has compassion, puts pressure on the bleeding wounds. He starts to take his own oil and wine and start to clean and dress the filthy, dirt-stained wounds. He takes of his own garments on his animal or of his own clothes, and he starts to tear bandages and starts wrapping those wounds. And as he tries and labors, he's going to lift the man up and put him on his beast, on that donkey, as the best he can. And then as he walks, he slowly begins that journey along those steep cliffs to find somewhere of safety. And coming to an inn, he procures a room. He gets out his money. He pays for a room. And then as he's in that room, through the night into the morning, he continues to take care of this half-dead, critical man. And as morning comes, he goes to the innkeeper and he pulls out 2 denarii, wages worth 3 to 4 weeks for this man to stay in the inn. 3 to 4 weeks. We don't know how long this man will take to recover. Broken legs maybe, concussion, all the wounds that he had. But he pays for 3 to 4 weeks for this man to stay at this inn. And then comes verse 35. Verse 35, he says, "Take care of him, and whatever you spend more, I will repay you when I come back." Whatever you spend, I will repay you. This Samaritan gives the innkeeper a blank check. Kids, do you know what a blank check is? A blank check is when a piece of paper that's used for money, if they write your name on it and then sign the bottom and they put on the money line, $500. When you take that to the bank, what do you get? $500, right? Wow, that would be exciting. Would you want that check, right? Well, a blank check is where they take a check, they put your name on the top, and then they sign the bottom. And they say, whatever you want or need, You fill that in yourself. So if someone has $500,000 in their bank account, what can you do with that blank check? You could take $500,000. What if they had $5 billion in their bank account? Whatever you want with that blank check, you can fill in that blank. And that's what this Samaritan did. He gave all of his resources. Whatever you need, I will repay. This is the love that God calls us and this lawyer to obey in, which means to love our neighbor as ourselves. What was Jesus doing? He was crushing this man's soul. He was putting him in his place. This man was justifying himself. He walked in thinking he was pretty good of himself. He thought he could look good in front of other people. But before God, he's shown his law-breaking, his sin. And this is the commandment here. He learns that he is the priest or the Levite. Could he keep the first and second commandments perfectly? Could he inherit eternal life? Could he justify himself before other men now, as now he sees what God calls and commands us to? No. No one could keep this law. All of us, even this lawyer, is deceived by sin. The sin in our hearts deceive us and cause that darkness to allow us not to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in Jesus' compassion, he's revealing the darkness in this lawyer's heart to show him that he needs a Savior. He is a lawbreaker. He thought he could keep that commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. But he shows him that he's a lawbreaker. And so I ask you guys tonight, what is Jesus doing even now? Tonight, this evening, what is Jesus doing? What is God trying to teach every one of us? He's having compassion on us now, and he asks you, who are we in this story? Who are we in this story? Whether we are in Christ or pretending to be, or don't know anything of Christ, we all are like this lawyer. We so often break God's law, justifying ourselves and the things we do, but we don't realize how we offend God so often when we pass by another person who needs help. We pass by on the other side of so many times people who need help. And as we see this, we realize we're like this lawyer. We justify ourselves. We might use the excuse, oh, I'm just antisocial, or I'm just selfish, so that's okay. Or maybe I have a complex. Maybe I just have a problem. But Jesus declares to us, we are just sinners. We are lawbreakers. And what he is doing is he is helping us to see that we need a Savior every day. Every day we need his grace. How often have our hearts been proud and we let it go days or weeks or even months? We might judge others, thinking ourselves above others. But we don't realize we're half dead because of that sin. We've been deceived by the sin in ourselves. And we stand on sandy ground that will be destroyed. And so Jesus, every time we have someone in need or hurting, and we pass by on the other side, we need to ask him for forgiveness. And then as we confess that, we get help daily to serve him. And so, do you ever justify yourselves before other men? It's pretty obvious here in this lawyer that he justifies himself. But we need to see the danger of that state. We've ignored God's law. We've twisted what we think God wants from us to make it easy for us to do. And thus we don't see we need a Savior. We don't need a rescuer. But Jesus points us to the law that we would run to Him for help. And so I have another question. Have you ever been a good Samaritan like this? Have you ever loved an enemy with such extravagant love, giving a blank check? I haven't. Have you heard of anybody doing such a thing? To love their enemy or their neighbor in such a way? Do you know anybody like this? I hope you do. Do you know someone who was despised and rejected, but for the love of the one needing rescuing, he gave himself? Do you know of someone with such a love? Do you know of someone who you were his enemy because of your sin, because you've broken his law, but he comes to seek and to save the lost? Do you know of the extravagant love, his enormous compassion, that he gave up everything he had, his own life, to die on the cross, that he could give us a blank check of his love? Do you know this love? Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He is the Samaritan in the story, and we are the ones bleeding half dead. Or even worse, we are dead in our sin. And he shows us his love. Never once did he break this command to love his neighbor. Never once did he fail to render aid to a soul that was lost in darkness. He continually, like this lawyer, ministers in compassion to where to help and save him. And do you know that limitless, infinite bank account personally? How we would live honoring him for what he has done for us. How we would live knowing such compassion. If our focus is this world, we will know a worldly compassion. And the world helps those who helps them. But Christ shows us true compassion. Where, like this Samaritan, an outcast, humble, not valuing his own life above others, gave of himself to love his neighbor or his enemy. And so Jesus is teaching us what compassion is. And what he calls us to every day, to see how he guides us, protects us, cares for us, provides. Has he bandaged your wounds? Clothed you with the righteousness that is not your own? Carried you to safety? Given a safe haven for the healing of your soul? Given you a bank account of his grace, that blank check? This is compassion that Jesus is showing us as he gives this parable, that we need him. And through this is the power of eternal life. When we see him, he gives us the power to show compassion to others. Because how big are our bank accounts? How big is our abilities? They quickly run out. But when we are using his check, that blank check, then we are able to go forward. And so as we close, do you see your need of a Savior? Do you have a heart that tries to justify itself? Run to the law. Look at what God has commanded you. Look what God has asked of you. See the failure that all of us, that we are sinners, and we will see our need of a Savior. But Jesus, as he looks at this lawyer, he says, go and do likewise. And so I ask you, do you have a ministry of compassion? The world likes to go after money, houses, popularity, fun, or relationships. They consider that valuable and successful. But Jesus shows us, what should we be living for? What should we be striving for? What is success? It is living like Christ. It is loving those who need our love, as Jesus has done for us. And so we see Jesus comes from heaven and shows us what God values, what God desires for us. He's already commanded us, but we get that all messed up, just like this lawyer. But he demonstrates to us what we should be. And so I ask you, do you have a ministry of compassion? As he's doing now, he calls us to do that likewise. We're to go side by side with others. Jesus himself, he would go and help the poor. He would befriend the outcast. He would be associated with the sinners and the lowly. And he calls us to deny ourselves, to flee what the world would love, and to go where he is. And so he's teaching us to have a ministry of compassion, to give of ourselves as he did. And we see the power comes from him. The glory goes to him. And the most amazing thing is, what was the most prevalent ministry of compassion that Jesus did? It was just teaching about the kingdom of God. Like he did for this lawyer. The lawyer thought he was in the kingdom of God. The Jew thought he was in the kingdom of God. And he loved what he knew. But Jesus brought in that light and taught his heart truth. And we are to go and make disciples. We are to go and show people they need a Savior. We're to show them what Jesus has done in that blank check in giving us complete forgiveness. And he can do that for others. And that discipleship is where Jesus would be soul focused. He'd be focused in the souls of men for all of eternity. And he calls us to do the same. And that would be an example of a ministry of compassion that he calls us to. And so as we close, Jesus gives us this command. As you see him doing, as you see in this parable, go and do likewise. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you reveal to us a danger. Outside of Christ, we are in darkness. Outside of Christ, we have no hope. But you have sent him as our rescuer, our deliverer, Lord. And Lord, would we see him every day? Would we confess our failings? But Lord, you lift our heads. And as we are lifted, Lord, we see your compassion. That blank check, Lord, you have given us that we would live and move and have our being in you. Oh, what mercy, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.